This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett, I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost 2 decades.
And I'm Emily, I'm a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little human.
And this is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the superfan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects. Family, and welcome back to yet another episode of
Anime Noise.
You thought I was gonna say that with you, didn't you?
No, actually, I didn't really care.
Oh, okay. Well, you looked at me like you were ready for me to say it with you, but I was curious to see what kind of harmony you were gonna come out with right at the gate.
Was my look a look of want?
Yes, longing.
Oh, longing.
Exactly. I like your bearded dragon on your shoulder.
My ornament?
Yeah, your little, it looks like you're a version of a parrot. Like if you were a pirate, you would have a bearded dragon on your shoulder.
Yeah,
like you
do right now. I would totally have a bearded dragon instead of a parrot. As you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the birds.
The birds.
The birds.
Or the bees.
No, I like the bees.
She likes the bees.
The bees are nice.
Well, speaking of bees, we're doing Hunter x Hunter season 2.
Speaking of bees, huh?
That has nothing to do with bees. But we are doing Hunter x Hunter season 2.
We sure are.
Are you ready to get right into it?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. All right, guys. Hunter x Hunter season 2. Aired April of 2012 to December of 2012. And the episodes that it covers, 32 of them, 27 through 58, covers the Heaven's Arena arc and the York New City arc. I wonder where they got the name of that city.
It's mind-blowing.
Mind-blowing. God, that is original.
We're awful. We're horrible.
Well, bring us into the music, Emily.
Oh, are we just jumping right in?
We're
huh?
going right into it. Might as well.
Season 2, let's do
it. I'm all nasally because I got some bullshit up in my sinuses.
Bullshit. All right, guys.
Sorry if I sound gross.
Intro number 2, Departure, second version, by Masatoshi Ono. Now, we talked about Masatoshi Ono last episode we covered on Hunter x Hunter. This one is the second and fourth opening. It covers this particular version of second version covers episodes 27 through 49 and then switches back to the first version at episode 50. And then they just kind of like alternate like every so often.
Yeah. Doesn't make any goddamn sense.
It doesn't make any goddamn sense. It was released in December of 2011 on the same single / album as OP 1, 3, and 5. All of the OPs.
But they're all the same.
Yes. And I found out that the only difference between the second version and the TV version is that now we're in the second verse. We're in a different verse.
It's a different verse.
It's the entirety of the song broken up into...
just different verses for each OP.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah. I'm like, that's a way to incorporate a song. I don't know what Masatoshi Ono had to do to get his whole song featured in an anime, but I want to know his
secrets.
That's
some sneaky shit
Sneaky shit.
Way to go, yo.
Yeah. And we've already talked about Masatoshi Ono, so we're going to call it done.
Let's call it done.
Done.
With a bunch of capital letters. Just like that. Just like that. Well, should we listen to it?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Here comes Departure, the second version.
The second version. Fucking weird.
You're weird as fuck, yo.
Fucking weird. Nagare ochiru namida, yuki ni kaete yuku, tenshi
Emily's over here singing or lip syncing to it.
And
in her head, actually. She's not even really lip syncing. She's just like holding her fist up in the air and singing it in her soul.
I am. I'm singing with my soul.
You sure are.
You, however, were doing some headbang shenanigans over there.
Fuck yeah. I'm always headbanging. I'm always banging.
I don't know what that shit was.
So this version does sound a little bit different, sort of.
A little bit.
Obviously, it's the same fucking song, but it did come out the gate with those strings right at the beginning, or at least that violin solo.
Yeah. I liked it. Y'all know I'm all about that violin.
I wonder why.
No one will ever know.
You're so chill and badass.
And then Hosoka. Come forth.
Preston, nice. If you're listening, a bearded dragon has been on your vest.
That's right.
Just thought you should know.
Yes. Well, yeah, that song's pretty good. I mean, it's the same as the first one. I really liked this as an OP. I wish they had done something a little different. But, I mean, it fits. It's like the brand. It's what we talked about in the last season. It is the brand sound.
Yeah, and I like the song. I love this song. I do. I do love this song.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking good.
It's pretty good. It's pretty catchy.
And we already, well, I guess we don't know the lyrics because it's a different verse.
Yes.
So bring on the lyrics. And we're already going to tell you that it fits, but I'm going to save the cha-ching for after the lyrics.
Okay, sounds good.
Cool.
I'm glad we worked that out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great plan. Break.
Cool. Fly and leave behind that endless sky. Go and cross that ocean. Catch the kiss that angel blew. You can try. Jump toward the world that no one has yet to see tomorrow. And then we talk about that angel a little more, and it says, step firmly on the earth. You wake up and go toward that angel's smile. Set out for a never-ending adventure anytime, anywhere.
Anytime, anywhere.
Is the angel Gon's dad? Because that's what it kind of seems like. Or maybe it's just adventure. Like, maybe the angel is adventure.
That's a good question. The angel could be adventure. Shit, the angel could be his mom.
That's true. God rest her soul.
Except we know nothing about her.
We know nothing.
She could have been shitty.
That's a valid point.
She may not be an angel.
That's kind of rude. Don't shout about Gon's mom like that.
I mean,
that's rude.
He didn't even want to like know about her. Like, his mom is Mito.
Garrett, you're bringing a harsh reality into this poor kid's life.
Well, good thing he's fictional. So,
yeah, in yeah. your mind.
In my mind.
That sweet, sweet boy.
Oh my God. Well, I do think the song fits.
Cha-ching! There
it totally fits.
I added it. There
Thank
you go.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'll overdub it right on top of your voice.
Yes, please.
Beautiful.
I'll be looking forward to it tomorrow.
Tomorrow. When I edit it.
Or today.
Well, it's not today yet.
It will be when they hear this.
Okay.
Okay. Let's move on. Outro number two, Garrett. Take us into it.
Outro number two, Hunting for Your Dream by Galnarius. That's a sweet fucking name.
It's a cool
name.
Fucking name, I know.
Sounds something like Lord of the Rings.
Galnarius.
Sounds like a fucking elf.
Or Game of Thrones,
yeah.
All right, tell us about it.
Okay. It was released in July of 2012 as their fifth single and later on the album Angel of Salvation. It peaked at number 30 on the Oricon, and Galnarius, a power metal band that formed in 2001. The band began...
Fucking old.
Yeah, they are old. 20 years old now.
Yeah.
The band began due to the connection over this genre of music between the vocalist and the guitarist. Up until Masatoshi Ono became the vocalist in 2009, the vocalist had been writing the lyrics in English, which the other members found hard to convey emotion through their music. That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, if you can't relate to
the language. That'd be like me trying to write a song in Japanese.
Mm-hmm. No. It probably wouldn't even make any sense.
Make no fucking sense. Mm-hmm. Be only the Japanese words that I actually know and can remember.
Yeah. You just like fit them in there.
Exactly.
And then say like most of your stuff is like English. Like your chorus is English. But all your verses are Japanese. I can see it now.
It'd be a lot of like, thank you and I'm sorry and maybe listing off names of family members.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. In 2017, Loudwire, the American heavy metal and hard rock online magazine, named Galnerius as one of the best Japanese metal bands.
That's pretty.
It's a pretty big. It's pretty big deal. That's a huge deal. Their latest release was in 2020 with a DVD CD combo home video called "Falling into the Flames of Purgatory." Metal as fuck.
That's fucking metal.
Except purgatory in the religious sense is like nothing.
Yeah. But that's why it's like falling into the flames of purgatory.
But purgatory is not hell.
It's not. No, that's what. God,
so it's not.
Damn it, Garrett.
That makes no yes. sense to me. Whatever.
That's why it makes it metal. They're like, purgatory is hell.
You're going out on a limb there, but I'm going to let you have that one,
thanks.
Okay? I like how you typed metal as fuck in the notes, too.
Yes.
Anyway, they're also featured in Laughing Under the Clouds, Reen, Daughters of... What
yeah,
the fuck
you,
is that?
You say it.
Mnemosyne.
Sure.
Probably.
Most likely.
It's a bunch of M's and N's together. It's only one pair, but anyway. Rainbow Nisha Rokubo no Shichinin.
Shichinin.
I've not seen any of that shit.
I haven't either. I've never heard of them.
Never heard
so
of
So where were
that.
You guys when I did that story? Anime that you've liked. Did you not like any of these? Are these awful anime?
I think they just have never seen them.
That's crazy.
They're so under the radar.
All right, well, let's listen to this one.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's fucking play it. Hunting for your dream.
Hunting. Oh, look, and there's Masatoshi Ono.
I forgot about this song.
I honestly had no idea that he was the lead singer when we were watching this. I was like, oh, man, this song jams. And then when I did research for this, the first season, I was like, this sounds kind of... name sounds familiar, and then I was like, oh fuck, oh. That's fucking same guy. Makes sense.
They should have used this band in the last OP. I mean the ending.
Oh yeah.
This one fits way better.
They should have just kept the same OP and ending for the entire series.
Not the first one. The first ending was not great.
Oh no, the
it was
first
okay, I mean it was okay.
That's what I'm
I
saying.
Guess,
they should have kept this one and Departure as the OP ending.
I mean, I like variety. I'm glad they switched
I
up
do
the ending.
Too, but if you're not gonna add good song, don't. Bam.
Bam. Yeah, that song's pretty good.
I like that song.
I'm a big metal guy, so I like that shit. But I think it fits. You know, musically.
Yeah.
You got the guitars and stuff. It's also the production value is much better than the OST. I know I'm jumping a little bit ahead here, but
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I think that kind of captures especially this season.
Yeah.
I love this. I think might be my favorite season of Hunter x Hunter.
Okay.
Because the Heaven's Arena was really cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
I really liked Heaven's Arena. And that's all I have to say about that.
Cool.
Heaven's Arena was really good. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I liked almost all of the seasons. I wasn't too sure about season 5.
Yeah.
The Chimera Ant one coming into it. It got good.
Election.
It got good. But going into it, I was like, I don't know about this one.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm not even going to give an opinion. I just don't want to hear any shit.
You just don't want to hear any shit?
I don't want to hear any shit.
From who?
From the people who were like, oh, Chimera Ant Siri, that arc was stupid.
Well, I mean,
that's fucking ridiculous.
It's like, probably the same people that fucking complain about season one.
Who fucking cares if you liked it or you didn't? I liked it, and I don't give a fuck if you liked it or you didn't. I can't stand that shit.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it got really good, but that's not what we're here to talk about.
I also like Monster Monsume. Are you going to come after me? No, I didn't think so.
I like how you keep calling it Monsume.
I do. I like calling it that. I don't like calling it Musume. It doesn't sound right.
Except it is right.
Except it is right. I know. But I didn't know that, and that's how I started saying it, and now I'm going to continue saying it. It's like,
her dumbass corrected somebody on our Instagram. They were like, oh, Monster Musume, and she's like, you mean Monsume? I'm like, Emily.
I didn't even say you mean. I literally just put the word Monsume in parentheses, and that's it.
They're probably so confused.
Probably, and you know what? People make mistakes. I'm fucking human, okay?
I know. I'm still going to give you shit
for
it.
And you know what? And my son says beetballs instead of meatballs, and you won't let him say meatballs now.
Well, he's three, yeah. So
and
that's fucking adorable.
What do you mean it's not adorable? Says
Sketty,
it's not adorable.
Sketty and beatballs. That's fucking awesome.
What am I not?
That's gonna be his like DJ name, Sketty and Beatballs.
Oh, we really gotta get him into music. That kid is uncoordinated.
3-year-old DJ.
when he creates our intro song for our podcast, I'm going to require that he makes a lot of money.
You're going to require it.
Require it.
I don't think that's up to you.
Fund your housing, son.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Pay rent.
Pay rent.
At three.
All right. We still got to talk about lyrics.
Yeah, I know. What the fuck are you doing? Wasting everybody's time.
Well,
TikTok.
Well, first off,
your
I was
finger,
dealing.
Just, finger don't stop the clock.
I was dealing with a dragon that is eating my hair again.
She's eating your hair again?
She was. Okay. Lyrics. To what extent can you touch your dreams? There is something you're aiming for. What is it that these hands desire? Search for a certain thing.
I know what your hands desire. You dirty slut.
Yeah.
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 She says yeah.
I ain't afraid. Once you step forward, the dazzling light is waiting for you there. Don't hesitate if you're drenched in tears. Lay bare your feelings. Don't fix your eyes on the times that are past. Freeze them in your memories. I like how this is really poetic. I like it.
It is very poetic.
The great skies and the great earth, absorb them into your body. Without stopping, surpass your future, and you can become stronger.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like I need to power up right now.
I am powered up right now just from those lyrics. It was awesome.
Oh, my God.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I got.
Well,
what
that definitely fits.
Wait, oh, yeah, I was going to say. I was like, what?
That definitely fucking fits.
What do you think?
Lyrics, sir, they fit better than music, in my opinion. They just enhance the music.
That's true. Isn't that what lyrics are supposed to do, though?
No. I think the music is supposed to enhance the lyrics.
Hmm. Hmm.
It's supposed to drive the message home.
Mm.
It's a music bed, and then you're singing on top of it.
I mean,
you know
I'm
mean?
Just saying that there are instrumental songs out there that like capture emotion very well. So you can't tell me that.
Oh, there's. I agree with you.
So then, if that's the case, then wouldn't lyrics enhance the music?
No.
Well, I would disagree.
Lyrics aren't technically music.
No, but singing is.
Yeah, but that's a melody.
Yeah, of lyrics. A melody of lyrics.
But it's a melody. The music is already there.
Well, then I guess if you just somebody just sang, it's not music, is it?
I mean, no, it totally is.
Oh, okay. But they're singing lyrics, aren't they?
But the lyrics themselves aren't music. They're just words.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Why
it's okay. You don't have to be right.
That's why.
It's
that's
okay.
Why when you read them, they don't make any sound, but you can still understand it.
Well, I don't know. My voice makes sound, so.
But the paper doesn't.
You're right. That's why I say it out loud.
So the music enhances the lyrics.
Mm, okay. What do you think, guys?
This is the whole fucking chicken egg scenario.
I could care less either way. I like music, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that was a silly argument.
I wouldn't call it an argument.
Debate?
I would call it a conversation of the arts.
With your with your aggressive eyes looking at me. I wish they could see that shit.
Never.
She just likes to tell me I'm wrong. She likes to be right all the time.
I do.
Even when she's wrong.
Every woman's dream.
Is it every woman's dream?
To be right? Yeah. You ask one woman in our audience right now, and you ask them if they would prefer to be right or wrong, and you tell me what percentage of women are going to say that they are wrong.
Well,
oh, that's crazy.
Oh, man. What's the whole phrase? Happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
Happy waifu, happy laifu.
Yep. Do you find that that makes your life happy when wifey is happy?
I'm comfortable telling you that you're right, even when I know that you're wrong, just to make you happy.
Well, that's okay. It's still happy wife, happy life.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Exactly.
Totally right.
Precisely. Let's move on to the OST, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right. Let's move on.
Bitch. So this OST was released May of 2012 under the VAP label. It's going to be a short one, guys. This one's definitely going to hopefully be a short episode.
Definitely going to be hopefully a short episode. Sure.
We say that every time, so I'm just going to mellow out the playing field here.
Yeah.
It has 28 tracks. Two of those are the intro and outro, so technically the soundtrack only has 26 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 50 minutes long, an hour.
56, yeah. What you put here.
Yeah, but that was with the TV size.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yep. All right. Let's get started.
Yeah, let's get into the notes. Let's analyze. Do you have any notes?
Push up my glasses. Analyze.
Did you just push up your fake glasses?
I don't have fake glasses. I have real glasses. I'm just not wearing them.
You're not wearing them right now. So you pushed up your imaginary glasses.
Gary.
Holy shit. It's one of those days, guys. It's one of those fucking days. Hump
day. Garrett's sick and I like to make fun of him.
That's mean. Heartless. Fucking heartless. Get into your notes.
So heartless.
Get into your notes, Kanye. Quit wasting everybody's time, all right?
I like what you're doing here.
Thanks. That was a pretty good one, if I do say so myself.
Mm. Oh, my God. All right. So we're starting off with Requiem Aranya.
I meant, do you have any notes for the whole OST?
No, I don't. I didn't really like it that much.
That was your notes.
That's not even a note. That's just
my notes for this OST as a whole is it's garbage.
That's not what I said. It's just not my favorite. I think that the way that they laid it out wasn't the way that I would want to hear it.
Yeah, I mean.
And then also there were a lot of song. I didn't even write notes for some of these songs.
I know. You're like, oh, I'm ready. Let's keep going. No, I wrote notes for all these things.
Yeah, because that's why. I didn't have anything to write.
I mean, positive. Let's look at some of the positives here.
Yeah, sure. I have a bunch of things starred.
So do I. Some of them for how you know, to describe how I didn't like it, honestly.
Ooh.
That's why I starred them.
Uh-huh. and you're getting on to me.
No, I'm not a huge fan of this OST. OST 1 was way better.
Oh, yeah.
I do love how classical it is, though. It's still, it's super operatic. Operatic? You know what I mean. It's really,
opera-esque.
It's like the old school thespian.
Yeah,
kind of theatrical.
They definitely included a lot of that in here. And I liked that there were a few songs that were super cinematic and super big.
Yes.
I did like that.
And it does have a lot of, it's not nearly as playful as the first OST. This one has a lot of tension and a lot more intensity than the first OST. Mostly, I think, to describe Heaven's Arena and the Phantom Troupe.
Yes. I think there was a heavy use for the themes of the Phantom Troupe.
Yeah. It's mostly themes of the Phantom Troupe.
Yeah.
And then they just recycle some of the stuff.
Oh, they recycled so much.
That's why this one's so short.
Yeah. I think that's something that I didn't like. And it makes it easy for us to go through and listen to it and review it, especially when it's like this. It is the same song. There's a little bit of a difference, but aside from that,
it makes sense.
It makes sense to reuse it.
You got to think of the production time and cost too. I don't know how much of this. First of all, they're redoing.
In 1999.
Yeah, they're redoing a show already. Secondly, I don't know how much time was spent for animating and recording all this stuff. Did they go season 1 to season 3 and fire out all that shit? or I know they didn't do just, I'm sure they didn't do just season one. If they knew that they were going to redo a series, I don't think they just did season one and stopped. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think they kept going. I don't think they did, but with the 1999 to 2011, that's a big gap.
Yeah.
So I don't even think they used the same composer.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Oh, what are you saying?
I'm saying like when they redid it, they already knew the content that they needed to create. So they didn't just make season one and stop.
Okay, I got you.
They just kept recording all the way through, which is probably why they recycled some of that stuff. Like they could have recorded season one to season three and produced all of that together.
Right.
Which would make sense why they recycled so much. I mean, they're not super long seasons, you know? So it's the thing that I didn't like the most about this was the way they captured the intensity was through essentially metal and electric guitars,
mm-hmm.
like intense rock
and drums. They use a lot of drums,
yes,
heavy drums.
But the drums and the guitars, like the tone that they were going for, it's a very poor production.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the drums even sounded fake at times.
Yes,
they sounded super programmed. The guitars just...
Like I thought it was like a beat pad or something.
Yeah, they just like programmed it, like mm-hmm. had already, you know, pre-programmed drums in their samples. But even the guitars were just lacking that fatness, that beefiness of a guitar. It lost a lot of the bass. It was super heavy mid-range. And it just didn't, like, it didn't hit you in the face.
No, I was never, actually, I was just very underwhelmed by this OST. And I think it might have been because it was a lot of reused stuff. Now, the thing that gets me about the reused stuff is because we've seen a lot of composers reuse themes and reuse motifs and things like that. But this, it didn't even sound like much had changed.
It depends on the song.
It depended on the song.
There are like three or four really, really good versions of old motifs that I liked. But I think that when you're trying to grab that intensity, a lot of the Phantom Troop stuff or the battle scenes and the new music for the battles, when they came up with a guitar melody, I forget which song it is, or otherwise I'd be playing it right now. But when they came up with a guitar melody, and this happened for like two or three songs, they would like play a loop essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And when the loop came back around, it already lost energy. Like they didn't add anything else. It didn't add anything in there to increase that intensity or to like keep the loop interesting. If you have an 8-bar loop, I'm going to get tired of it. So you have to
keep it interesting.
You have to keep it interesting, either with other instrumentation or just an embellishment of the phrases that you used in the first loop, which wouldn't really be a loop, but you know what I mean. And just didn't do that. They just let it hang there. So OST one's way better, but I think that's all my notes for like the thing as a whole. Yeah. My last note for the whole thing is OST one is way better. yeah. So I guess let's get into it. Let's go through it. We're just going to like
zoom,
probably skim right through this.
tell me which ones you had starred. We didn't even talk about this when we were reviewing this.
Let's see. I mean, I have quite a few starred. I probably should scratch some of it out. I get a little ahead of myself sometimes.
Mm.
I have one that I really liked actually was track number 3.
Oh, I have that one starred too.
Yeah, Hisoka's second theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's really good. I loved Hisoka's themes.
The Mad Baylor.
Yes. And it's like by Leor. It's like something, I don't even know how to say it. Maybe I said it right the first time. Who knows? And then I had number 4 starred, but only because I didn't like it.
I said it sounded like a dirty Naruto theme.
And actually, this might be the thing that I was talking about with
the looped guitars. Yeah, because I said, especially with that looped guitar in the rhythm area, the song gets really like weird.
it loses energy.
Yeah.
So I had 3 and 4 starred. 3 because I liked it. 4 because I didn't like it. And what else do I have starred? 9, 10, 11, 17. Right. Oh, actually, I had number 17 starred because I'm hoping Preston is listening to this. Preston, you need to listen to track 17.
Oh, yeah.
For your project.
Dude, that was like...
Some of the choral stuff in here
is
amazing.
That was pretty awesome. That was super cinematic and dark, and it like rattled the fucking speakers with how low it was at the beginning.
Yes. Yeah. And the all of the... That's one thing that they did really, really well was the choral composition.
Yeah, I did like that. And they had a Kyrie in one of them, right?
Yeah, that was, I think, actually track 17. But it was weird how they used the Kyrie, because Kyrie, I'm pretty sure, if I remember from my religious upbringing,
Catholic school days,
the Kyrie was used as like a worship song.
Yeah, it was like used.
I should look it up right now. I'm not going to though. I don't care that much, but I'm pretty sure it was like a joyful like.
Well,
I love you, God.
So Kyrie, whenever I was in the doing violin at the Catholic Church. A Kyrie was used whenever like you were doing, it was like an in between. So anytime that you did like, communion or something like that, like you would play that. And Kyries were mostly used around the holidays, like special events.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, like I said, I'm pretty sure it was like a whole, reverent sort of thing.
Yeah.
But this one they use is like, they use the term Kyrie and liaison.
I can't remember. I couldn't really tell.
I
wasn't sitting in the middle of the speaker, so I could only hear like kind of what was coming out of the right speaker.
But the song, they used it as like a Kyrie to the devil. It was super.
Yeah, it was real dark.
It was super dark, and I loved the kind of juxtaposition there. But is there anything that should we play the Mad by Leor?
Yeah.
Track number 3 first.
Yeah, let's do track. Let's start, go in order.
Track number 3. Let's find that one really quick.
This dog is trying to find the dragon.
Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. I love the claps on this, mostly because they're very upfront and in your face. The volume's low, but it sounds intimate because they're dry. There's no effects on
them.
It brings the music closer to you.
Yeah, a little more personal, intimate.
Yeah. Puts you right there.
Hisoka's feet theme in this version, it sounds more like what you would think of a Joker. Like, it's almost like a daunting kind of thing, like teasing you and like playful, not quite so evil.
Yeah. It's scheming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having fun with it.
That electric guitar.
I love this guitar so.
Electric guitar.
So expressive. And it makes him a little more powerful, a little scarier.
I want to point out the beautiful techniques of the glissando with the horns and the double stops with the violin at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Like, that was fantastic.
Yeah, that song is great.
Yeah, we just talked a bunch of mad shit about this OST, and we're like, yeah, fucking this song.
Well, we didn't say the OST as a whole. We did talk about that. But, I mean, it's not – I know we're talking shit
on
it.
We recognize that every song is not
– going to be perfect.
Going to be perfect.
Unless you're Sawano.
Yeah. I did want to say that the first song, The Requiem, that one gave me some Elfin Leet kind of vibes.
Yeah, I mean, it's super –
it was
religious.
That choral part that really like hit home with those Requiem vibes.
All of this is it's very religious, and every member of the Phantom Troop has their own sort of like choral, this dark choral churchy thing. I mean, the leader is, his name's like it's not Lucifer, it's Lucilfer, but
it's
close enough.
Crollo Lucilfer.
Yeah, and that just sounds Satan-y.
Devil shit.
Sounds like devil shit. Well, I can play number four just to kind of give you guys. Now, that's that number three, The Mad by Lior, is one of the songs that we really loved. Number four is one of the songs we really disliked. And I think we should give you both. Plus, they're right back to back. This one is Kurapika's theme from season two. Kusari Yarou, the Chain Bastard. What do you think? Can I play it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Cool.
I was waiting for you to play it, sorry.
Okay. I'm like looking at you for a response.
Oh, sorry. See, I was looking at my notes.
I thought this was going to hit really hard.
I did too. And then hear, it just mellows out and it's just kind of like...
how low that fucking bass is and the drums are?
Yeah.
It just doesn't punch you.
No, it has no effect on me. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, there's that guitar that's...
I was so ready. I was like, when I heard it, I was like, fuck yeah, this song is going to be sick. And then it just fell out.
It did. It was very underwhelming.
And what's the sad part is, those keys are awesome. There are aspects of this song. This song has so much potential.
It has elements.
If it was
that
recorded
well,
quality. It would have just been made way better. Because there are some parts that I really love about it. And that bass sounds kind of sloppy. And too much reverb on it.
Audio engineer nightmares.
That bass needs to fucking growl. It needs to growl. It needs to hit. Fucking. This is the Chain Bastard.
And that was it.
And Kurapika, no, Kurapika in season two was a bit of a monster.
He was a monster. He had a real chill out. Real chill out.
Real. So that's what we mean when we talk shit about this stuff. I mean, these guys are amazing composers. They're great orchestrators. And the song and a lot of the phrases in there were... all the pieces are there to be really good. And it just didn't... like, they didn't drive it home.
No.
They didn't glue it together properly. So that's how I felt about that one. Is there anything else that you wanted to play?
Literally the other ones that I have starred, other than the one that I want to use for the outro, are about Kalua or the Zoldyck family.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Those are the next two that I have starred, track 7 and track 11, and then I don't have another one starred until track 25. That's how much I liked this OST. Normally, I'm like star happy. Today, no.
I mean, I had 9, 10, and 11 starred. I
liked number 9 because it really personified eagerness.
And it kind of sounds like, it sounds a little John Williams-y sort of Disney.
Yeah. And they had like those tempo changes as well. And like the drums and the violins. No, that was really good.
It was like playful and dangerous.
Yes.
That was really cool. You want to play that one? We said we were going to keep it short, so we don't have to.
No, let's pick something else.
That's track number 9, guys. These are three that I had starred here in a row. Nobunaga's theme.
I liked this one, too. I didn't star it. But.
Again, it had that, like, that production value just wasn't quite there, but it did. It was, like, Japan traditional.
Yeah.
All those traditional sounding instruments.
Which matches the character.
Oh, definitely.
Because he's very in that traditional form with his hair and his clothing.
Yeah.
So I liked how they did the traditional and modern instrumentation.
But it also, they like combined it with that 80s rock sort of like synth drum sound.
It was kind of dirty.
Hair metal. Yeah, and it was recorded a little dirty. It sounded like they recorded in like a garage.
Yeah.
It was like kind of witty and stoic a little bit.
Yeah.
They captured Nobunaga's theme or his personality really well. It's a bit sporadic. I like the character too, so I think they did a pretty good job. Then number 11, the silver-haired apprehension. This one,
I started this one.
You started this one? Mm-hmm. I started this one too. It is a rendition, or to me it sounded like a rendition of a past motif. It was pretty, it has this like really weird whimsical high frequency phrasing, and I forget which instrument it was.
I literally just said light instrumentation.
But it was, they have this like super dark and maniacal sounding bed, but then on top of that, the phrasing, they have like major and minor phrasing.
Yeah.
On top of each other.
I know.
And that was really cool. They sandwiched those together. I think we should play that one.
No, we should. And they had like this like droning sound underneath.
Yeah.
That really like, it catches your attention right off the bat. And so you're still kind of listening for it. And then it really surprises you when those lighter, higher instruments come in over that low droning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let's play it.
And this one.
Track 11.
There we go. Yeah, the drone,
mm-hmm.
the cello, the bass.
Yeah. I was like, talk about sneaky and creepy.
But that phrasing on top is like very happy.
Yeah.
And then you have this like dissonance coming in.
Yeah. It's very almost like cat and the mouse kind of thing.
To me, it sounds like spiders scurrying around.
Mm-hmm. Well, he did want to kill those spiders.
He did.
I love those violins. I love it.
And those horns. Super short song, but really cool how they mm-hmm. did that. And actually that, while we were listening to it, I was reminded of another description that you put for one of the songs.
Oh, the Harry Potter meets, what
was it's it? Like, let's eat some spaghetti and watch Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, that was actually literally the next song.
Is it the
12.
Next song?
Yeah, track 12.
Spiders Canzone.
Let's eat pasta and watch Harry Potter. That's
this
the vibe
one,
I got.
This one we have to play for you because it sounds like the Italian version of Harry Potter.
Yeah. I can't even with this song. It's that guitar in the back.
I have the harpsichord there too. And I think it's the phrasing. What is that, an oboe?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a flute.
Well, that.
The
yeah.
oboe was before.
But it's the phrasing from that that makes it sound awful. It's just got Harry Potter phrasing all over it.
I don't think we need to play any more of this song.
No, because it just repeats.
It just repeats.
And that's what we mean by, like, they kind of looped it.
Yeah.
They looped orchestration, which to me is like, I don't know. It's just,
it's
just
lazy. It's kind of boring.
It's a little lazy.
It's boring and lazy. And, you know, something that I loved about the other composers, and I am not hating on him at all, but something that I love about the other composers is that they will make each song almost sound like a different song, and then they use that song in multiple different places. So when you just loop it, now you just have a song that sounds the exact same all the way through. And honestly, I wouldn't purchase this OST.
No,
I wouldn't purchase it.
Mm-mm. Nope. The only way I would purchase it if I was like the biggest Hunter Hunter fan and I had to have the collection here,
or it was free.
Well, then you wouldn't be purchasing
exactly.
It. Let's see. I thought it was weird that the follow-up to that was
Donkeys.
Donkeys. This, no offense to fat guys out there, but it sounds like the soundtrack for a fat guy. Like the stand-up bass and the strings are like, they're heavy, but they're super cheesy.
It had a lot of...
It's like the whole... Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. It sounds like what I picture like a fat dude walking ba-dum, to. Ba-dum,
ba-dum, ba-dum. I thought it had a lot of fun elements, and it was definitely silly and interesting. The thing that got me was that literally the next four songs are all on the cheesy kind of a little too lighthearted from where we came from.
Yeah. We need some of that lightheartedness because we had it in OST 1.
But you need to scatter that shit around.
Or just use different timbres, I think.
Yeah.
I did like... The Dr. Warm-Hearted Miser, which is track number 16, that one, it sounds like they're making fun of Leorio's original theme.
I know.
It sounds like they're just making fun of Leorio.
They're like, ha, 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 fucking Leorio.
It's his exact theme from OST 1, but they like slowed it down a bit, and it just feels like they're mocking him.
It sounded very
But the bass solo was really cool.
Oh, that was really cool. I noticed that too. I really got some Pink Panther type of vibes from it.
Yeah.
Ba-dum, 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 ba-dum,
that sly ba-dum. Thing.
Yeah. I was like, what a smooth talker Leorio is.
It's all about money. He wanted to become a doctor so he could have money, essentially, to save family member. I forget who it was.
I can't remember.
And then we have track number 17.
Death
track number 17
agony.
And 18, actually. I put a P and circled it for Preston.
Oh, yeah.
Death, Agony, and Auras. This is really cool. This is really, really cool.
I liked Auras because it was a repeat of the song, but I like how they did this repeat.
Well, yeah, it was Latent Power.
Yeah.
They repeated
Latent Power.
But they redid it with vocals instead of
the
pads. Yeah. So that was really cool. I don't think we need to play that.
I don't think we do either. Just Preston, go listen to it. Yeah. Get some inspiration.
Definitely. That is a good way to, I think Death Agony for sure is a good way to kind of take some notes and inspiration from, you said you had to use choral and
orchestra
together. They do that really well. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the entire orchestra, but they throw in some big church bells and stuff. And they capture the scene really well. So I think you should definitely take some notes from that.
Definitely do. So then you get from track 17 and 18, and then you get to Innocence of an Assassin, track 19. And that song just seemed like it was done too slow.
I wasn't sure how I liked it at first. I was like, this is a goofy rendition of a previous motif. I was like, I wrote right here, I don't know if I dislike it or not. And then kind of Mario-ish, like Super Mario. And then I wrote too cheesy, and then I didn't like it. It turned into something that I just didn't like. It was too long for what it was. I don't know.
No, I'm right there with you. My first thing that I wrote was, the song is very confusing.
Yeah.
Seems too slow of a tempo with the rhythms, but then you have the bass and its ornamental notes that add a really nice element. And I was like, I don't really fucking know what's happening here. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot of these songs that are cheesy, they took too far.
Yes.
They took it a little too far. It's like, I thought it was funny and kind of fits, and I was like, all right, this is cheesy, but I dig it. And then it was like, all right, you could have made it a minute shorter and it would have fit better.
I just felt they wouldn't have had to like end it in the way that they did. They could have cut it. They could have just cut the song. That's it.
Yeah.
Not even make it shorter. Literally cut the song.
And the only other song, I think, the only other one I had starred was track 21, Friends.
I didn't
Tomodachi.
Start that one.
It's a very beautiful piece.
Tomodachi.
Yeah. I love the performances from the players. It was written really well. It brings back the classic Hunter phrase, the motif. It was a really good throwback, I think, to OST-1. It was done very well. And then, I don't think I'm going to play that, though.
Yeah, there was a really cool guitar solo on track number 23.
Mm-hmm.
As for those outlaws, Unrivaled Strength.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce it in Japanese right I'm saving myself the embarrassment. But yeah, I really liked that's the song that came in with just drums. And then they added some percussive synths that came in with the electric guitar. And that electric guitar just like blew my mind.
Yeah.
It was a really nice solo. I liked it.
They, like I said, the performances and the writing here was really good. Even the cheesy stuff, I was like, it's written well.
Yeah.
It just didn't, they didn't execute it all the way through. They didn't, yeah. The production value wasn't there for some songs. The orchestration was essentially there. I think maybe they chose the wrong timbres, maybe the wrong synths or the wrong instruments to play a certain phrase. But composition-wise, hats off to you. It was done
well. Yeah, no, it was done well. I like the composition. I just don't like the layout of the OST itself.
Like, if I read it on sheet music, I'd be like, this is cool.
But hearing it and like
how they did it was,
I wouldn't, it's not an OST that I'm like, fucking crank that shit up in your car, listen to it for like hours on end. Like, I wouldn't recommend it because it doesn't blend well. It doesn't transition well.
No.
So is it a good standalone OST? No. Does it fit the anime? Absolutely.
Yeah, it fits the anime. It fits the season. I think they could have done a bit better, in my opinion. There is one more song that I would like to play, but I think I'm going to save it for the outro since we're kind of wrapping this up. Departure for Strength.
I already told you that was going to be the outro. You don't even need to say that. I already said it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you say it on the podcast?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention, guys.
Yeah, dummy.
It's the sinuses are blocking my ears.
Yeah. I said, you asked me what I wanted to play, and I was like, and then I don't have another one until track 25, and I'm saving that one for the outro.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I totally missed that.
Yeah.
Flew right over my head.
But when you guys listen to that, I fucking love the way that they did that. For strings, they played the intro, and they did it so well. It's a different song. It is.
Emily
the
said
same.
She almost liked it better when we listened to it. She almost liked it better than actual Departure.
Yeah,
the opener.
I really do. I really like the way that they orchestrated that because it almost made the song new. Put it at a different tempo. Put it like having things kind of rearranged in a way. Our dog is obsessed with our hamster right now. This is stupid.
Way to get sidetracked there.
I got real sidetracked. Yeah, no, I do. I love that track very much. So I hope you guys enjoy it as an outro, and I hope you listen to it for as much as we play it for you. And then go listen to it by yourself with good speakers and headphones.
Yeah. So I guess on that note, that pretty much wraps up our entire episode today.
Yeah, we did keep it short for you. You're welcome.
Yeah, we're under an hour.
Holy shitballs, who are we?
Right?
I did say this was going to be a really short episode.
Yeah, it's not a whole lot of music to review. But definitely my favorite season. Sucks that the music wasn't as up to par as I really wanted it to be. But you win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
So,
you got a good season.
Take them on out with your infamous outro.
You say that every time.
I know,
you say
famous,
famous
first.
And then you say infamous.
Well, I can delete it and then just say it again if you want.
It doesn't matter at this point.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Not going to delete it.
Nope, I know. All right, ladies and gents and everything in between.
What is the thing?
It's bitches, bros, and non-binary hoes.
There it is. Yeah. There it is.
I got it.
You got it.
We are all inclusive. I love you all. Whether you're... Whoa, I just knocked my mic.
Smack the fuck out of your mic.
Whatcha?
Holy shit, we're keeping that in there. All right.
All right. Whether you're taking us with you for the ride or you're chilling in your own BBC, we are thrilled to share our love of anime and music and sound effects with you.
And if you could do just one more favor for us, please head on over to our Instagram page. It is at Anime Noise Podcast, all one word. It's really becoming a family over there. I know I say that every single week, but it is true. It is becoming a family. We love hearing from you guys. We love talking to you guys about everything anime and music and sound effects related and just everything in general. Shit, we even had a person talk about their love life and their relationships. So we're here for you guys, and we're here. We're your friends.
That's right.
one day hopefully meet.
We fucking love you.
We fucking love you. And don't forget to click the link for the YouTube playlist down in the show notes and listen to the OST, and you can see what we loved and hated about it too. And you can tell us what you loved and hated about it as well. Whether you agree or not, we'd love to know.
Yeah, we don't care about your opinions. It's fine. No, we care about your opinions. Just kidding.
Way to be a butthole.
Yeah, I am a butthole. It is what it is.
But don't be a butthole if you're going to give us your opinions.
That's true. I won't be a butthole if you won't be a butthole.
Yeah, takes one to know one.
That's right.
I just want to say butthole one more time. And on that note, tune in next week for another episode of...
I feel like I shouldn't say this because you're going
to be... You want me to start it? You want me to start it, don't you? Anime Noise! Bye.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.